Good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. And if you are a first-time visitor or if you have visited in the last couple weeks and you have not filled out one of our visitor cards, I ask you to please do that. We want to be able to be in touch with you and we want to be able to minister to you, and to be able to do that, we need you to fill out that information. So I would invite you to please make sure that you do that and you give it to me or one of the elders, or get it to Jane. Jane, raise your hand so people know who to look for. But it's important for us to know who you are and to be able to begin building a relationship with you. So please, please, please get that information to me. Those of you who did not get to the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference this week missed out on a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I want to encourage you, start planning ahead for next year. It's always around the beginning of August. We don't know the exact dates yet. But it is a wonderful opportunity to be spiritually fed. Quality speakers, uplifting music, wonderful fellowship. If you want a testimony from some of those that were there this week, talk to Peggy, talk to Luther, ask them about it. So again, I just want to encourage you, please, for next year, plan ahead. Even if you can only make it one or two nights, I believe it would be a great blessing to you. Also, another update, something that we're kind of still figuring out and working through as I get used to my role as pastor here and get to know the needs of the congregation. Wednesday evenings and prayer meeting and all of that is still a little fluid. We're still trying to figure out what works best. So for the time being, what we're going to do is we're going to offer two different times where people can come and have a time of prayer. We're going to be doing the Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. We're going to continue to do that. But also Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m., we want to do it at 6. That way, those that are participating with Awana, if they want to come in and pray with us for a brief time, they can do that. And we can also take a couple minutes to pray specifically for Awana. And so I want to encourage you, Wednesdays at 6 p.m., if you're able to come and join us, it will just be a time of prayer. And also then Tuesday mornings, we will have our prayer time as well. So just want to encourage you, if you're able to join us in that. Prayer is important. Prayer needs to be a priority. I believe God wants to and will do mighty things here at Grace. But it begins with us being on our knees. It begins with us humbling ourselves and seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways. It begins with us corporately and individually coming together before our God and seeking His wisdom, seeking His direction, and surrendering ourselves to Him. A politician was once on his way to a meeting in Dublin and arrived late at the station. So he waved down a cab. He jumped in the back seat of the cab and said, "Drive fast." And so the cab driver just took off and started speeding down the road. The politician, after a few seconds, said to him, he said, "Do you have any idea where you're going?" And the cab driver said, "No, I don't, but I'm going there fast." I believe that this is a great description of our society today, is it not? Everybody's going fast. Everybody's on the move. Everything is high paced. But the reality is that unfortunately the majority of people have no idea where they're going. They're moving through life fast. They're in the fast lane. But where are they going? We live in a high-speed era with instant information and communication. This generation truly is living in the fast lane. Now, with this statement I'm going to say next, I am dating myself. And if you understand it, that means you're old too. But I thought I was moving into the fast lane 30 years ago when I went from a 14K modem to a 28K modem. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's some older people that understand. For you younger folks, that means it only took 2 minutes for one page to load on a website instead of 5 to 10, okay? Back then, you literally had to sit there and wait for the picture, well, first for the text to come up and then the pictures to come up. It wasn't like today. Today, we can live stream high definition while downloading big files and uploading music files. We can do many things instantly today. We live in the fast lane. We live in a high-speed time. Today, we even live in the days of AI, of artificial intelligence. You can get any answer that you want instantly. Now, whether it's the right answer or not is a different question, but it'll give you an answer instantly. The only problem, like I said, is that most people are going nowhere fast. Solomon had some good advice for his sons in Proverbs chapter 9. And I believe that it is good advice for us today as well. So I'm going to invite you, please, to turn to Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 12. And I would like to share with you this morning some words to live by. Some words that each one of us need to put into effect in our lives, that we need to apply in our lives. So please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. And I'm going to ask, out of respect for God's word, if you could please stand as we read verses 6 through 12. Proverbs chapter 9. Verses 6 through 12. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of your life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you thanking you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives us understanding and reveals your truth to us. And so therefore, this morning, as we approach this passage, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be allowing us to understand your truth, that your Holy Spirit would be helping us to apply this truth to our lives and to our hearts. Lord, that we would be doers of your word, not just hearers, and that we would be able to put into practice these things that Solomon is instructing his son, but at the same time, you are instructing us because this is your word. This is inspired by you. And so we ask, Lord, that you teach us that which you want us to hear this morning. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are three things that I want us to see that Solomon is instructing us to do. And the first thing that Solomon instructs us to do is to choose our path wisely. Choose your path wisely. Let's look at verse 6 again. Forsake foolishness and live. and go in the way of understanding. Forsake foolishness and live. There are two paths that Solomon is laying out in front of us here. He says there are two options. There are two paths that you can follow this morning. There are two paths that you can follow in your life. And the first one is foolishness. And so Solomon says, forsake foolishness. Forsake foolishness. Over the years, we have been exposed to many ideas and many ways of thinking, have we not? There are many worldviews in our world today. There are many options to believe. And our society today would tell us that we need to accept all of them as equal and valid, correct? Our society today teaches and preaches that if you believe a certain thing and I believe a certain thing and someone else believes a certain thing, it's okay. Believe what you want. It's all truth. But Solomon says there is a certain thing as foolishness, and we need to forsake it. We need to reject it. Some of the things that we have been exposed to, that we have been taught over the years, would be considered wise by God's standards. But there are also many things that we have been taught that our society has ingrained in us, that our education maybe has ingrained in us, that by God's standard would be considered foolishness. And Solomon says, reject those things. We must be careful who we listen to and what advice we accept. We need to be careful who and what we allow to influence our lives. As parents, you would understand. If you're a good parent, you are going to be very careful with the influences that you allow in the lives of your children. If you're a young person here this morning, if your parents have ever told you, I don't want you hanging out with that person, there is a reason. Because your parents have seen character traits or qualities in the life of that person that is foolishness from God's perspective, and they want to protect you from that. They want to secure you from that. God's word says that there are many who consider themselves to be wise. There are many who consider that they are giving wise advice. They are encouraging others to follow their example and follow their wisdom. But you know what God says about those who consider themselves to be wise? In Romans chapter 1, verse 22, it says, professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. Unfortunately, many of these individuals who consider themselves wise in worldly standards, God says, they're not wise, they're fools. And these individuals who consider themselves wise, who consider themselves to be the standard bearers of wisdom, but because their wisdom does not come from above, their wisdom does not come from God, their wisdom does not conform to God's word, to God's revealed truth. In reality, they're fools. And these highly educated fools, in many ways, have infiltrated our education system. They have infiltrated our institutions of higher learning. And our children are often bombarded with these foolish ideas disguised as wisdom and often using science as a weapon. Humanism, secularism, wokeism, and many other worldly isms and philosophies have replaced true wisdom. They've taken the place of God's wisdom. They've taken the place of revealed truth. Solomon's words should catch your attention in verse 6. At the beginning of verse 6, it says, "Forsake foolishness and live." To reject God and his wisdom is the single most foolish decision a person can make. To be wise in their own eyes and reject God's wisdom, God's truth, is a very serious decision that has great consequences because it has eternal consequences. Let's go back and look at verse 6 again, the beginning. Forsake foolishness and live. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Solomon says, forsake foolishness and live. I believe there he is not talking about just physical life. I believe he is talking about the spiritual, eternal ramifications of the greatest foolishness that exists in the world, and that is to believe and to declare that there is no God. And sadly, we have many in our world today that believe and declare that. So many in our society today have rejected not only God's standards, but have rejected even the very existence of God and have tried to sell it as truth. And they've tried to ram it down the throats of our children and our grandchildren. And Solomon says, forsake foolishness and live. There's eternal consequences to this. Rejecting God and his truth has eternal consequences. The first decision that I encourage you to make this morning is to reject and forsake foolishness. Filter everything you hear through God's word. Filter everything that I say through God's word. Does it come from God? Is it revealed in his word? Does it contradict God's word? And if it isn't, if it doesn't coincide with Scripture, with God's truth, then reject it as foolishness. That's what Solomon is telling us. The second path, because again, he provides two paths. Choose your path wisely. The first path is foolishness. He says, reject it. What's the second path? Go the way of wisdom. Go the way of wisdom. Let's go back to verse 6. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. That word understanding can also be translated as wisdom. Decide right now to commit your life to learning and applying true wisdom and understanding to your life. Sadly, too many people have confused wisdom with intelligence. and they are not the same thing. You can have a very high IQ and be extremely foolish. Has anybody ever known somebody like that? I sure have. You can also have somebody with a very low IQ that is very wise. It's not about IQ. It's not about intellect. It's not about education. Regardless of your IQ, you can become wise. Regardless of your education, whether or not you have a college degree or a master's degree or a doctorate, or maybe you didn't even graduate from high school, you can be wise. How? Well, James tells us that in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. James doesn't say, if anybody lacks wisdom, go to college. If anybody lacks wisdom, get a master's degree, get a doctorate. No, he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, who should they go to? To God. Ask God. Why? Because true wisdom doesn't come from our education system. It comes from God and His Word. I encourage you this morning to ask God for His wisdom. Ask Him for it. There is not a single one of us here this morning that couldn't use more wisdom in his or her life, including myself. I need it. I need it every single day. And sadly, often I'm guilty of not asking for it enough. When was the last time you asked God for wisdom? When was the last time that you came before God like Solomon and said, God, I can't do this on my own. Your people are a great people. I'm not capable of governing them on my own. I need your help. I need your wisdom. James says, if anyone lacks it, ask of God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Second point here, second thing that Solomon is encouraging us to do is to never stop learning. Never stop learning, verses 7 through 9. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. What does he say about a foolish man? A foolish man rejects instruction. Solomon describes a foolish person as one who refuses to hear advice or correction from another. In other words, they're a know-it-all. Nobody can correct them. Nobody can instruct them. Nobody can approach them with words of wisdom because I already know it all, and I don't care what you have to say. He basically says that talking to them is not only a waste of your time, but that they will take what you say and turn it around and use it against you. It will actually harm you. Have you experienced that? Solomon says, verse 7, he who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. In other words, somebody who is like that, a scoffer, somebody who rejects wisdom, someone who rejects learning, someone who refuses the input of other people in their lives to help them grow in knowledge and in wisdom, they harm those who try to help. And sadly, there are many people like that in our world today. Correcting a foolish person or scoffer only shames and harms the person correcting them. They are under the delusion that they have everything under control, that they know it all, that they do not need anyone else's advice, they do not need anybody else's help because they are in control. A fool becomes upset and loses his temper when he is corrected and lashes out at the person correcting them. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. And that's something that we all need to learn from time to time. Now, I am one that I have to purposely try to hold my words back. But have you ever been in a meeting where there is one person who's sitting back silently and quietly and doesn't say much? But after a while, after a long time of listening and thinking through everything that's going on, they open their mouth and oh, the profound words that come out. The fool vents his feelings. The fool is quick to speak, quick to respond. But a wise man holds them back. I admit that's something I need to work on with the help of the Holy Spirit. Often we're too quick to respond. Often we're too quick to speak. Often we're too quick to say something. But many times, wisdom requires us to simply hold back and ponder before we answer. A wise man, in contrast to the foolish man, welcomes instruction. Verses 8 through 9. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Learning is a lifelong pursuit, and no matter how much you think you know, let me let you in on a secret. You don't know it all. I don't know it all. I still have much that I can learn from you. I have a lot that I can and am learning from Brother Bill in his Sunday school class. One of the greatest qualities that we can have as believers is being teachable. Is being willing to learn from others and desiring to learn from others and not approaching every subject and every situation as, I already know that. Are you teachable? Are you striving to continue to learn? Because God's word says that being a know-it-all will only bring problems to your life. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but the well-advised is wisdom. But with the well-advised is wisdom. When we are prideful, when we believe that we know it all, when we believe that we have it all under control, when we believe that our way is always the best way, we're going to find ourselves with a lot of strife in our lives. Because Solomon says in Proverbs 13:10 that with pride, and again, I believe that pride is also what he's talking about in chapter 13, about somebody who is unwilling to learn, unwilling to be corrected, that foolish person that is a know-it-all. When we have that pride, when we think that we are better than others, when we think that we know everything that there is to know, and we have that pride and that arrogance, he says, that will bring strife and tension into our lives. According to Solomon, who again, according to Scripture, was the wisest man that ever lived, the only way to grow in wisdom and to remain in wisdom is to listen to the counsel of others and accept instruction. Proverbs 19:20 says, "Listen to the counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your later days." So how do we get to our later days? And some of us are closer than others to our later days. Some of you have a long way to go yet. But how do we get to the point in our later days, in our old age, where we can say, I've become wise. I've learned. Solomon says, by listening to the instruction of others. In other words, seek out individuals who display godly wisdom, godly character, and learn from them. Now, that can be done in many ways. There are many godly men and women who have written wonderful biblical books that by reading them, we can learn from them. And that's positive. That's something that you should do. That should be something that you develop in your life. Reading. And I know I need to do more of, and there's always the excuse of time. But the fact is, one of the greatest ways that we can acquire wisdom is reading that which godly men and women have written. Again, always comparing it to Scripture, always going back to Scripture, making sure that what they're saying and what they're teaching is biblical. Second is, seek somebody out to mentor you. Ask somebody that you respect, somebody that with biblical knowledge, somebody with experience, somebody who demonstrates godly character in your life and say, would you invest time in me? Would you help me grow? Would you share your wisdom with me? That's what Solomon is saying here. If you want to reach the ripe old age of whatever it may be and be able to look back on your life and say, thank you, God, for the wisdom that you've given me, then you need to be learning from others. That's a big reason that we're here this morning. That's a big reason that God, that the church exists and why we must not forsake the assembling of believers, because God designed us as a body of Christ to learn from each other. And I need to learn from you just as much as you need to learn from what I'm preaching. We learn from each other. We're a body. That's part of the process that God has designed for us to acquire wisdom. No matter how old you get, there will always be somebody with something to teach you. No matter how wise you get and how many degrees you have earned, there will always be somebody who has something to teach you. Are you teachable? Are you seeking to learn and to grow? The third and final decision that I am going to encourage you to make is the decision to always put God first. Always put God first. Verses 10 through 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of your life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. True wisdom only comes from God. Verse 10 leaves no doubt where the source of wisdom comes from. Where does wisdom come from, according to verse 10? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Can you get to the end of wisdom without the beginning? No. So until you fear God, you can't even begin that journey. You can't even begin the process. Here's a little twist to a common saying that may help you remember this truth. Know God, and that's K-N-O-W, know God, know wisdom, K-N-O-W. Know God, N-O, know wisdom. Know God, know wisdom. Know God, know wisdom. Therefore, if we want to receive that wisdom from God, we must begin by fearing Him. And I know we spoke on this previously in earlier chapters of the book of Proverbs, but what does it mean to fear God? Because Solomon says the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God, or the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. What does it mean to fear God? It doesn't mean that we're trembling in terror because He's going to hurt us. The fear of God is a respect and awe. It is an attitude of humble reverence towards God. And this inward attitude of reverence will result in an outward expression of obedience to His word and His will. If we truly have a respect for God and an awe for Him and His word, we will obey. We will listen. It will affect our behavior. And when that happens, God says, wisdom will begin the journey of growth in your life. But it does not even begin in our lives until we reach the point where we truly fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So where are you in your wisdom journey? If you don't fear God, Solomon says you haven't even started that journey yet. Where are you at? Have you started that journey? Are you growing in wisdom? Or do you still need to learn to fear God? And in verses 11 and 12, Solomon tells us that God rewards those who fear Him. Verses 11 and 12. For by me, and me is a reference to wisdom, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. In other words, if you are wise, you will get benefit from that. There's personal benefit gained from being wise. What is the benefit? Solomon says that the days of the wise will be multiplied and the years will be added. As I mentioned back when we looked at chapter 3, I don't believe Solomon meant that this is a guarantee that you will live to a ripe old age, but simply a general principle about the benefits to our lives and our health when we live according to God's wisdom. Think of all the things that we do to our body and to our health because of the foolish decisions that we make. I'm dealing with physical consequences today because of foolish decisions that I made in my past. Are you? I think all of us are to some extent or another, right? However long or short your life may be, we definitely have the promise of God's blessing if we live for Him and obey Him. God has a plan for your life. He has a future for you. Young people, listen to me. God has a plan for your life. Now, you may have your own plan for your life. I had a plan for my life when I was younger, when I was your age. And you know what? My life did not turn out the way I expected it to. But one thing I've learned, God's plan is so much better. If you will submit to God and His plan and His wisdom and seek after wisdom and reject foolishness and fear God and obey Him and His word and trust that His plan is better, I guarantee you, you will not regret it. Will you put Him first and allow Him to bring about His plans for your life? Or like a fool, will you reject His plan for your life? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He has a plan for you. He has a future for you. One with hope. Will you seek it? Will you search after it? Will you begin the journey of wisdom that God offers you by fearing Him, by obeying Him, by surrendering to Him? Or will you fight Him tooth and nail? Because I have my own plan, God. I want to do my own thing, God. I'd like to conclude this morning by restating the three challenges that I have given you today out of this passage. First, reject and forsake foolishness. Second, never stop learning. And third, always put God first. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these challenging words. We need your wisdom. Our world is full of foolishness. Our world is full of ideas and beliefs and worldviews that are contrary to you, contrary to your word, which is your revealed truth. And we so often are led astray and influenced by these worldly, sinful, ungodly ideals and pursuits. Lord, help us to reject foolishness. Help us to seek after your wisdom, your truth. Help us to fear you, to reverence you, to obey you, so that we can begin the journey and grow in our path to wisdom. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ.